So, Om Ganati Vinandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I can't lead a kirtan right now because I do have a little bit of a throat problem, but it's nice, I can speak a little bit. It's nice to see all these nice Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and Prabhus and Pravis. How's that sound? Instead of Prabhus and Matajis.
Politically correct.
Yeah, we have to be politically correct. We can't use that the M word anymore. So, anyway, it's nice to see all this enthusiasm. We're happy to be here. This is a very vibrant community. And this area of Australia is like Vaikuntha, basically. I was just commenting on this today as I was walking, taking a japa walk here, and saying this is like the spiritual world. And of course, it's also like the spiritual world because all these Vaishnavas are living in this area too. They create a nice atmosphere. And I was comparing this to another place in Australia, Sunshine Coast, which has a similar climate, but there's no Vaishnavas living there. I mean, maybe one Vaishnava. But when Vaishnavas are living around a place, it actually creates like an envelope or like a bubble, a Vaikuntha bubble, even if there are a few interesting other personalities around. We're not saying demons. Actually, everyone's a devotee. They just don't know it. Okay? There are no demons. There are only devotees, aspiring devotees, and people don't know they're devotees, but we just have to remind them. So it creates a whole like Vaikuntha bubble around. And it's really nice, you know, devotees like Param living here. It's just very sweet, you know. And I was thinking, oh, how nice to live here. I was just, in my mind, I was making plans, you know, how can I stay here permanently? But, I know. But we'll have to have like a barrier between it. So I was just thinking, but then I understood my duty is not like that. My duty is to travel and preach and help people in Krishna consciousness and not retire until I can't do anything else. That's retirement. Sometimes devotees are thinking they should retire at the ripe old age of 45 or 50, go to Vrindavan and wait till they die. That really wasn't Prabhupada's mood, that people would move en masse to Vrindavan or Mayapur, unless they actually had some preaching business. Because that is our family business. Our family business, of course, sometimes, if you ask Vaisheshika, our family business is book distribution, which is true, I agree. But overall, our family business is to increase the number of Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada showed that example by saying to the devotees who wanted him to retire that he wanted to leave this world like a fighter, like Arjuna. Prabhupada said, we don't want sit-down devotees, we want fighters. Not fighters in the sense of fighting each other, but that's neophyte, you know, a new fight. But fighters in the sense that we're ready just to go out and challenge the world. And I was also thinking, I'm sort of missing that mood in ISKCON today. Isn't that a problem? I mean, when he joined, of course, when I joined, it was like, you're enlisting in the army. When he joined, it was like enlisting in the Air Force, which is easier than the army. It was like the Marines when I joined. And so it was just that mood, you know, that gung-ho. I don't know if you know that word here. I mean, it's enthusiasm in America speak. So the gung-ho mood, let's go out, conquer the world, change the world, save the world. I was missing that. Everywhere I go, actually, I'm missing that. It's more like, let's settle down, have a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually said, a comfortable life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. So one should actually leave their comfort zone. I mean, it's not that everybody has to travel and preach. Then I wouldn't have, any job. My job would be finished. You know, I have nobody's house to go to and no place to eat. So, but, you know, just to leave our comfort zone. You know, we have this comfort zone. We all have this, isn't it? That we feel very comfortable in. I mean, look at Prabhupada. I mean, look at Prabhupada's example. I mean, Prabhupada was roughly the same, his body was roughly the same age as I am today. You know, Prabhupada was 70. And I'm 60, I'm over 69 now, by 2 days. Anyway. It's good. It's a good year. So, but Prabhupada's roughly the same age. And then Prabhupada really stepped outside of his comfort zone. And he left Braj, in which he was extremely comfortable in, to come to a country that basically was completely foreign to Srila Prabhupada. The weather was foreign. Prabhupada wasn't sure that he was going to get anything to eat, so he brought some of his oats with him. And so that was the mood when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Just like, leave your comfort zone and do something. And it, of course, for me, leaving the comfort zone meant going on book distribution. The first day I was in the temple, and actually, I'm remembering this because Rina Nandamars is visiting. So he was a temple president when I first joined the movement. He was married. He wasn't a sannyasi at that time. And in order to attract me to sort of like integrate myself in the temple, he said, you can be the temple treasurer. And I thought, great, you know, a real cushy job for me. But I didn't understand the temple treasury only had $5 in it, so it's not like nowadays, you know, $5, you know, people light their incense with a $5 bill, basically. Like people used to light cigarettes. Anyway, so people, so I got in, did the treasury in about 2.5 seconds, and he said, all right, it's time to go on book distribution. And I said, what, me? I said, do I have to wear one of those robes? He said, yes. And I got pushed out the door, and there I was, in outside my comfort zone. But then I started to experience ecstasy. Just being out there and having to approach people, which I'd never done in my life. I'd never been a salesman. Just like calling people over. Would you like a back to Godhead? Get out of my way, kid. Get a job! I said, I have a job. Krishna conscious job. Anyway, so it was like that. But then I experienced, the more I stepped outside of my comfort zone, the more I experienced spiritual realization. And I remember in the early days distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm sure Parma Karuna will remember things like this. Just being out all day long, like 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. Coming back at night and feeling so much happiness, it was unbelievable, isn't it?
Only when I was working with Rupa. Rupa was my leading light.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it? Oh yeah, I forgot about Rupa here. He's so, like the acharya.
We did that constantly with Rupa. Rupa was the pushing agent.
Yeah, and then we went out, and then at night, I remember listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures or kirtans or something, and feeling so much happiness. I couldn't sleep at night. I was just shaking with happiness. Now, of course, as a GBC, I just shake with anxiety. Also can't sleep.
Saba will fix that now.
Yeah. So that's a, you know, it's still the same problem for a different reason. And it was just wonderful, you know, just doing something that I wasn't comfortable doing for Krishna. And after a while, I got comfortable doing it. That's obviously. And I think that Krishna calls all of us to do that, and Krishna called Prabhupada. I mean, like Prabhupada was having these dreams to take sannyas. His spiritual master was calling him, beckoning him, Abhay, come, come. And Prabhupada said he was horrified. You know, of course, this is a pastime, I understand, but yoga maya and all that other nice stuff. But Prabhupada said he was horrified. And, you know, that means he was actually feeling like it. Prabhupada wouldn't lie. You know, because Prabhupada was responsible taking care of his family and everything. I'm not saying people should leave their family. Don't worry. It's not a sannyas class right now. But the whole point is leaving the comfort zone for the sake of others. And because Prabhupada did that, and none of his godbrothers did that, Prabhupada is known as the most exalted disciple of his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I think we all have that opportunity, you know, men, women, children, like Nimai, have that opportunity to just like stick our necks out for Krishna. And it doesn't mean traveling, it just means wherever you are. I mean, just like put your full effort into bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. I mean, the world's on fire. I mean, even nowadays, the world is on more fire than it was 50 years ago when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, in those days, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, the world was, you know, more or less like, I don't know if you, of course here you may not have seen these TV shows where they had happy families on them, you know, men and women married with children, like Ozzy and Harriet, you know, you don't know that
stuff.
What's the TV? What's the TV? Oh yeah, in Australia, you're just living in the jungle. Forget about that. So you didn't know about TV. Or cartoons, you know, Mickey Mouse or something like that. But nowadays, the world, I mean, you talk about all these sorts of things like global warming, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones. There were unbelievable strength in destroying things. And what to speak of politicians like Voldemort, who I mentioned this morning. His name cannot be mentioned. Anyway, so, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's like, if you read the news, it's just like, huh? Is this like some funny, like for example, in the old days, there was this newspaper that was just like a satire newspaper. It's called The Onion. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that. And it just like wrote funny stories about things that never happened. But you don't need that anymore. Because the newspaper is so amazing what you're reading, how cruel people are being in certain parts of the world, you know, whether you talk about Africa or, you know, America or anywhere. It's just, huh? Is this real?
I think Hargreaves probably mentions it in his book, Chasing the Rhinos. He mentions The Onion.
The Onion, yeah.
Sam Shunder.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just, this world is unbelievable at this particular point. And it should give us more impetus, just like, what can I do, you know, to help people? And that was Srila Prabhupada's impetus. I mean, Prabhupada, as we know, all Vaishnavas are, you know, a bunch of kalpathruvyascha kripa sindhus. They're oceans of compassion. So I think that if we really want to become Krishna conscious, that's the method, not just sitting down in Vrindavan. I mean, of course, we go to Vrindavan, obviously, get inspired and everything like that. But just sitting down. And Prabhupada wrote this wonderful poem. I would like, you know, I don't have a copy of it right now. But it's called Vrindavan Bhajan, in which he actually illustrates this point. You've heard Vrindavan Bhajan poem. I got stopped from reading it in Vrindavan one time. They said, don't, it's not politically correct. You know, but in, anyway, I guess I don't have a copy of it here. We can look it up a little later. But it just illustrates Prabhupada's mood in preaching Krishna consciousness. He says, you know, if you're just sitting down trying to be Krishna conscious, he says, and just chanting, he says, you're eating the mind's bananas. In other words, bananas means cuckoo, or loco in Spanish, or crazy in English, or challenge. So, anyway, that's my message for today, that I'm inspiring, or hope to inspire myself and the devotees here to just like, just try to help save this world. You know, please, please, please. That was Prabhupada's plea also. Okay, so now I want to ask if anyone has a question or a topic you'd like to hear about. Yes?
I was just reading today, I'm editing Jaya Takamara's memoirs for I was reading a part today where actually one Vaishnavi said to Srila Prabhupada, one of our god sisters, Maharaj didn't name him, said to Prabhupada, I just want to go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and chant. And Prabhupada chuckled and he said, you can go to Mayapur and Vrindavan to chant, but you'll simply sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. How do we control the mind? I mean, I find that when I'm actually pushing to spread Krishna consciousness movement, my mind comes under control a lot easier. I'm able to focus on the holy names. I mean, that was my experience on Sankirtan, even as a new devotee, that when we come back at night, I could focus to such extent on Prabhupada's words that I could hear the inflections that would manifest Prabhupada's ecstatic symptoms. Like, if you really can focus, let's say, on Prabhupada chanting, you know, we have so many Prabhupada chanting recordings now, and you really could focus, and generally I couldn't focus that much, but after a full day of preaching, wow, it's like the bhajan became alive, you know, hari, hari, vipale, janamakali, nine, you know, wow. And you hear the Prabhupada, you can actually hear the Prabhupada was on the highest platform of devotional service and exhibiting bhavas, you know, emotions, intense emotions of love in his chanting and in his speaking. And then normally, you know, people listen to Prabhupada, they're always just repeating the same thing over and over again, you're not the body and everything like that. Yes, it is the same topic being repeated, but the bhav, the saffron dust particles at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are within the sound vibration coming from the pure devotee, that you experience when you give yourself to Prabhupada's mission. I'm not saying everybody goes out in book distribution. Actually, one thing we did, I encourage the devotees I'm traveling, is to have one day a month. Actually, this is Vaisheshika's program.
Is it?
Not problem, program. Where he has this monthly Sankirtan festival, isn't it? I encourage one of my disciples, who happens to be like the leader, one of the leaders there in New Zealand, to organize that. And the devotees are going out, and it's really increasing the intensity of the devotion there. Anyway. And Paramakaran is expert in book distribution, and so is Rupa, of course. Right? All right. Okay. So, who has another question? What's the question?
Which pastime in Christian book do you like to relish here or read?
When Lord Chaitanya went out and he preached to everybody, I know that's not in Christian book, but I'm just you're getting a little bit away from my topic right now. Yeah.
I think Maharaj Prabhupada, when he was preaching, I'm not this body, his spirit soul, over and over, there was still a relish in it because he was talking to what we could really grasp.
Yeah.
Like you said before, the devotee only talks to according to the needs of the audience. So therefore, he was really addressing what they needed and what they wanted. But as basic as it sounds to those who like to comment, make comments in general, yeah, and defame or whatever, or minimize. Those people were relishing those simple instructions, and it motivated them to great things.
Yeah.
Because they were speaking to the level they were at and working on the level they were on.
Yeah, and even the level we're on now, I mean, who here has realized they're not the body? Anyway, but, you know, each time, let's say I hear Prabhupada's words, even like, you're not the body, you're spirit, soul, there's some realization there. You say, wow, that's true. Even after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement, it's still ecstatic to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And each time we read the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's words, and as I mentioned before, the words of the pure devotee contain the saffron dust particles in the lotus feet of the Lord. I mean, and you're getting showered.
Isn't it true, therefore, he's left our books, and he always emphasized how much important to read, because as we advance, he's no longer physically with us. We can gain more depth
from
what he started, and the seed is there, so.
Yeah, there's no difference.
No.
Sound vibration and the pure devotee are absolutely the same.
I find it really interesting. Devotees think that, Srila Prabhupada is repeating, you know, the same comments.
Yeah.
They would think that's simple. They're actually the most fundamental, intrinsic, complex understanding of the spiritual life.
Yes.
you know, we have not come to that world, we're speaking for myself, to the platform of understanding we're not this body. I'm so bound and caught up with the concept that I am Krishna Rupa. And yet how could you possibly think that Prabhupada banging on your head with that same message is... Simple.
Of course, we haven't digested it yet, in other words. But even if we have, it's just nectar. Yeah. You know, if you love someone, I mean, just like when Krishna plays his flute, the gopis don't say, that's the same tune I heard yesterday. Why doesn't Krishna play something new like My Sweet Lord on his flute? Yeah.
I always feel that excitement of when you get a chance to preach to someone and talk to someone, that eagerness, that overexcitement of telling them as much as we can and, you know, word it the right way and all that. It's very much in line with kind of being attached and thinking that anything that we say is going to make a difference, as opposed to remembering that ultimately it's up to that individual soul and the Lord speaking through us. So how do we sort of help that, have not maintain the enthusiasm, but in the same time have that sort of calmness of remembering that it's not really us being attached to that, or thinking that we're
going
to save that person.
Well, let me adjust it a little bit. There's five factors of action according to the Bhagavad Gita, and we have control of four of the five. Krishna is one factor. But in one sense it is up to us. I mean, not ultimately, we're not the supreme controller. But a Vaishnava can manifest compassion in a situation that the Lord would not be compassionate. Does that make sense? In other words, of course, we say that Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, and then I also say that Prabhupada is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can be instruments for Srila Prabhupada by choosing to do so. So Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune, referring to us. And now it is our business to go out and create others' good fortune. And what I find is, not that it's false ego, but when I'm speaking to someone, I'm thinking that their spiritual life is dependent upon how I am able to explain the philosophy to them. And it doesn't put me in anxiety. No, you know, without me, they're going to go to hell. I don't think like that. That would be very bad. But I'm thinking that I really have to concentrate on presenting the philosophy properly so that these particular individuals will get enough, but not too much, and be encouraged in devotional service. Not only presenting the philosophy properly, but interacting with people in the proper personal way. So they'll be encouraged. Like, I just got a call. I mean, just give you an example. I just got a call from one of my disciples in, he's in Brisbane. It's Dowji. He's coming a little later tonight. And he's bringing with him two devotees, but one person I met for the first time. And because I interacted, actually, I gave him a hug. You know, and I preached, talked about Krishna, not that I'm Amma, Amma, the hugging guru. Mama instead of Amma. Anyway, when you get older, you can do that, So, yeah, we have to find some older ladies to hug people. Anyway, so... With a big bindi. But, obviously I was Krishna conscious. I didn't say simply by hugging you, you're going to be liberated. But, just a simple act like that really touched him, and he started crying afterwards. And he's coming tonight to see me. Just a nice gentleman who's coming for the first time in contact with Krishna consciousness. So it's not only what we say, it's how we say it, how we interact with them, and how they perceive how much we care. Whether it's through some bodily action or just tone of voice or something like that. And that's really what convinced me to join the Hare Krishna movement, was coming in contact with Prabhupada. And I felt Prabhupada really cared. I mean, a lot of the devotees who explained the philosophy to me, I didn't have that same impression from. I felt they were just trying to abuse me. In the name of preaching. You know, it was like that in the beginning. I didn't mention here, but I mentioned the other day, I got told that you're not really qualified to read Prabhupada's books, you know. You're not advanced. They wouldn't let me, you know, I picked up Prabhupada's books, you know, one book, and the Isipanishad, you're not ready for it. Can I please read Prabhupada's books? No. You're going to hell. So anyway, so but it was Prabhupada's, and it's not really so much what he said. You know, really, I mean, it's what he said, but, you know, it was hard for me to comprehend what he said. Just walking in the temple. And I remember the first lecture I went to, Prabhupada gave, it was at the University of Florida in Gainesville. And Prabhupada was talking about the Purusha avatars. I mean, it's amazing. He, right in front of all the students, you know, who had never heard about Krishna before, Prabhupada was saying, in the beginning of creation, there was the Mahavishnu. And he breathed out, and I was thinking, this is far out. How are any of these students going to understand any of this stuff? You know, and then he went to the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, who gave birth to Lord Brahma from his belly button, you know, navel. And then he went to the Kshiradaksha Vishnu, who lives on the shore of the ocean of milk. Ocean of milk? I was just thinking, what keeps the milk from spoiling? You know, and can they make it into paneer later on? You know, that was going through my mind because I like paneer a lot. So but it really, yeah, I guess, you know, the words actually had potency, and anyone who heard it, even if they didn't understand, like Prabhupada, even when he was giving the lecture in a foreign language like Hindi, and the devotees didn't understand, Prabhupada said they get purified just by hearing. So, but it was Prabhupada's demeanor, you know, body language. That's what I mean by demeanor. That I experienced, like, here is someone with so much compassion and love and, you know, really cares. I mean, nobody told me that before. And it explained anything about Prabhupada, except, you know, he's a pure devotee, which I didn't even know what that meant. You know, walking in the door of the Hare Krishna movement, he's a pure devotee. Okay, what does that mean? What's a devotee? You know, what's Brahman, you know? I was still trying to merge into the Brahman effulgence at that time. So,
don't ask these questions, Prabhu, you're not qualified.
Yeah, it was enough to associate with the devotees that turned me into a Brahmavadi or a Mayavadi. So anyway, so, but it was his demeanor, you know, the way he looked at me, the way he looked at everybody, and it was just, of course, the atmosphere he brought with him. Because I was mentioning before, just because we have so many Vaishnavas living in this area, the atmosphere is different here than anywhere else, except where there's Vaishnavas living. You know, Vaishnava makes a place a holy place, and a Vaishnava purifies a holy place. So, anyway, so that was the point. It was Prabhupada's atmosphere that he brought with him that really convinced me that here was my spiritual master. So when dealing with people, it's more, we are responsible. Let me answer your question. We do have responsibility like that. And we can create people's good fortune, not because, you know, I am who I am, you know. You know, like they say in the Bible, God said, I am that I am. Anyway, so it's not because of that. It's because Krishna's given us the instruction to do it, the empowerment to do it. If we have our good sadhana, you know, if we take care of everything else in the meantime. Krishna's given us an amazing ability. I mean, I've seen that. I mean, I'm just like a hopeless conditioned soul. But, you know, I've seen that when you're following the spiritual master's order, which has the success potency built into it, that Krishna, miracles happen. You've seen that in book distribution, isn't it? Rupa? I mean, you've seen amazing things. Amazing, amazing things when you go out like that. And you understand, it's not me, but because I made the effort to do it, I get some credit for it too. So if we don't make the effort to do it, you know, it's like if you sit around waiting for the prophecy to come true. I mean, Vidyananda Maharaj speaks about this. It's sometimes like devotees are waiting. Okay, it's a 5,000-year golden age. When is it coming? When is it coming, sweetie, you know? It ain't coming. Why? You know, Lord Chaitanya predicted it. You know, waiting for a prediction to come true, sometimes it doesn't unless you act on it. We're given an opportunity. So, you know, so we can do, the point I'm making is you can do amazing things. You can be empowered. The force is with you, as they say. You're all jetty warriors. Right? Anyway, Rupa?
Raj, it seems like there's a danger, unless we, you know, preach Krishna consciousness and distribute Shalabhava's books, that can start to get on a mental platform and think that, you know, people are all atheists, they're not really interested. You actually, you know, you really have that determination, enthusiasm, you go out and preach and distribute Prabhupada's books, then you actually find that thousands of people are really interested, and they're probably more ripe than ever before, like you said before.
Yeah.
The world situation, there's more, much more craziness.
People are insecure, much more insecure now.
People are more stressed. And so people are actually more and more interested these days than they ever were before. And it's just amazing if we make the endeavor to go out, actually, how many people are really interested. Just like you can see at the farm, like Prabhupada said, now you can know a whole pot of rice is
by one grain.
Cooked by testing one grain. So you can see at the farm how many nice people coming to just this one community here and taking interest and enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, we can know there's many thousands of more people like that out there.
Yeah.
Just by seeing these people come to this one community.
Yeah. And, you know, there's different ways of preaching. Like if someone's working in the school, you're cultivating the kids there, children like Madi is Madhavendra. So, you know, but the more we interact with others to bring them to Krishna, whatever our situation is, the more we'll start to love everybody. You know, and I can see, like when Rupa goes out, and Parama too, you actually like the people you're talking to, isn't it? It's like you're not just seeing them like as money bags or as...
Well, you know, you have to approach them with the intent that they're... you give them deference that they're going to be very good quality people.
Yeah.
Because you've deferred that to them, they act in their best capacity. You approach them and be polite and present what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be good. People actually want to be in a good mood. So, yeah, generally they are. You find their innocence... Sometimes.
Most people are
innocent. There's a little avenue where you can approach them about Krishna sometimes. Mm. And you can fan that sometimes. And
yeah, and but the point I'm making, you basically like them.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and you feel for them. Too.
Yeah, you feel for them. You like them. You,
it's difficult to go out.
You know, yeah, you feel some love for them. I mean, just say, wow, you know, I like you. You know, and if you have that mood, that was Prabhupada's mood. You know, Prabhupada's mood was more than like. It was, I love you all. And then people get attracted.
It's interesting, Maharaj, how Prabhupada taught that if we just do push on the Sangatam movement, then Krishna arranges all sorts of amazing souls to just come and join up. So you see that at this community in New Govardhan, that because the Sangatam's going on, the books are going out, the Harinam's going out, preaching programs, massive prasadam distribution, all these amazing souls are just turning up at New Govardhan, they're just taking up Krishna consciousness just like that.
Yeah.
Just in recent times, we've seen so many young people. Where did they all come from? And they're like so serious about Krishna consciousness, and they all seem to be so many joining in such a short period of time.
Yeah, every time I come here, there's more young faces, and old faces. But
it's not only that, though. But I've been speaking to some of the more mature age ladies down at Krishna Village because they can relate to me. Along with the temple, and they're so inspired when they, they've been searching for probably the last 20 years in their lives, and they come to Krishna Village, and the atmosphere is so potent, and they're incredibly, attracted. They start chanting japa, and they, they're really eager to learn more about Krishna consciousness. It's just, very inspired.
Yeah, you have a wonderful community here. This is one of the most inspiring places that I visit on the planet. Seriously. I probably get more inspired here than when I go to Govardhan.
So you have to stay long in
Yes.
No, I have to go out and try to imitate the mood here or emulate the mood here. Yeah, I mean, it is very inspiring just to see all these enthusiastic devotees, you know, young, old, whatever. Who, and it's serving Prabhupada's mission. So, any other questions? Yes.
We're an international society. We're active in just about every country. But see, the only songs we're singing are Sanskrit and Bengali, basically. Just wondering, do you think there's any need or necessity or benefit spreading Krishna consciousness to be singing songs in like local languages?
You asked a $64,000 question. And did I ask you to ask that question? No. I mean, did someone ask you to ask that question? Because that's, yeah, what you're saying, absolutely true. Of course, we're not talking about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is in Sanskrit. That is a mantra. We chant that. However, if we want to attract more people, like masses of people, to Krishna consciousness, we have to have more programs where people can relate to what we're chanting. And the problem is that even our own devotees, you know, been in the movement for some time or so many years, when they're chanting these different mantras, they're oftentimes, if not most oftentimes, not thinking or aware of what they're chanting. Like if you go through the Guru Vashtika prayers, which I do chant every day and I do know the meaning of, most devotees in the morning just chant it nicely but without understanding, thinking about, for example, that the spiritual master is raining down his mercy on this material world, which is blazing fire, material existence. They're not thinking about that. They're doing what we call Niyamagraha devotional service. Niyamagraha means doing devotional service without being aware, ritualistic devotional service, which is a cause of deviation from Krishna consciousness. So I'm not saying we got to change the Guru Vashtika mantra or anything like that, but somehow or other we have to train ourselves so we're thinking of the meaning while we're chanting those mantras. And then, insofar as bringing people to Krishna consciousness who are not in Krishna consciousness right now, we need programs utilizing local language chanting. Mixed with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, actually it's one of the initiatives that I'm working on right now. I have a number of people, disciples who are expert in music, working on writing songs, composing songs, that we're going to put on the internet with music videos, as music videos, to try to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Now, one of the things, I think I mentioned this last time I was here too. Yeah, one of the things that inspired me here in Australia was a church called the Hillsong Church. I mentioned that last time I was here. And this Hillsong Church, they're centered around in Sydney area. And I've been to some of their programs, and because people were aware of what they were chanting or what they were singing when they were singing, even I got into the mood that they were trying to evoke or bring out of people. And I found it inspiring. I mean, it's not because I was remembering the Christian background, because my background is not Christian. You know, it was because the atmosphere of the program was so, let's say, so focused. And we need to emulate, use techniques that other people or other groups are using in order to spread Krishna consciousness. So what you're saying is true.
Yeah, to understand that the bungalow Sanskrit that have been given to us by realized souls. So anybody who presents maybe English songs, there's always going to be some controversy,
yes,
know, whether these are bona fide. Because I know from time to time devotee musicians have come up with English songs, but as far as I know, they've never taken off. You know,
well,
when we're not singing them in
My Sweet Lord is one that took off.
That took off, and you know, whether it's bona fide Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote English poems and songs. You know, Sharagrahi Vaishnava. Some of you are familiar with that? And other poems. Prabhupada wrote some English poems. And Prabhupada translated his books into English. And I really feel that Prabhupada's books in English are fully potent, even though they're not written in Sanskrit. So it's not the language so much. It's you know, spoken by a pure devotee and with the proper siddhanta. And then it'll have potency. However, many songs like My Sweet Lord have attracted people, yes.
Yeah, this whole thinking, you know, like what you're talking about, like, you know, we have in every ISKCON temple every morning, on our asanas, we have our local devotees giving class.
Yeah.
You know, they're speaking their realizations. Now, I've been thinking about this lately, that, you know, if those classes could be delivered in a music form, wonderful. I mean, you know,
a rap song. You know, you're not that body, baby. Don't you know it for sure?
But, you know,
you got it. You got to take up Krishna consciousness and really be pure. Yes, yes.
But, so if we are trusting our local devotees, like, you know, we don't listen to Prabhupada's lectures every morning in the temples.
Yeah.
We have our local devotees who are speaking their realizations. So, and musicians who are good musicians, they know how to put music. They can certainly put music to a class and deliver it.
Yeah.
So, that being the case, I don't see that there would be any...
Yeah, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there's no difference. So, yes, that is something... I mean, I have songs, which I have in my phone here, that I could play, but it wouldn't be loud enough for everybody to hear, that we're working on, that people really love, that already attracted people to Krishna consciousness. This better be about the topic.
There's this lady. She's a Prabhupada disciple.
Yeah.
Her name's Krishna Prami.
Oh, yeah.
And she did some recordings of singing the translation of the Bengali and Sanskrit songs.
Yeah.
She did like a CD. She's just singing the English translation of the Sanskrit and Bengali songs.
That's nice.
The normal ones we sing.
That's nice. At the same time, one of the things I wanted to mention was that the reason we have Bengali songs is that the acharyas, like Narottama Das Thakur, decided to put the philosophy, which was in Sanskrit, into the common language. They didn't put it into sophisticated Bengali, they put it into common Bengali. Prabhupada comments on that. And they made it accessible to the Bengalis, the normal Bengali people. Therefore, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness spread widely in Bengal. So we need to do something similar. Yeah.
Is Chaitanya Charitamrita in simple Bengali or compared to Bengali?
No, that's not simple Bengali. That's not even modern Bengali.
Yeah.
That's Sadubhash.
Because I heard some people, like, some Maharajas find Bengali devotees and go, great, you can translate.
No, they can't.
And they're like,
no. No, it's a different type of Bengali. But Narottama Das Thakur's songs are in simple Bengali. You know, Goranga Balite Havi Pulaka Sharir. Very simple, even I can understand it, so simple Bengali. So, anyway, so the acharyas have already done that, like Narottama Das Thakur. And also Shyamananda, he published songs or words in Orion. You know, originally Lord Chaitanya didn't speak Orion. He just spoke Bengali. So you have Shyamananda who put it in Orion. And of course, you in Maharashtra, you have Tukaram, who put in Maharashtrian. Because Tukaram actually was a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he adjusted, interestingly enough, he adjusted even the Sankirtan style. Different types of drums, different types of, you know, cartels and everything like that. But it's still, he's chanting the Lord's holy name in accordance with the culture in Maharashtra. And he's considered to be like, you know, almost like a Mahaprabhu of Maharashtra, Tukaram.
There is a quote, I think it was in Little Amrita, where Prabhupada said his mission was to bring this philosophy into English, and his disciples' mission was to bring it into all the languages.
All languages of the world, yeah. That's why we translate Prabhupada's books. We don't make people learn Sanskrit first or Bengali first before. Or, you know, it's obvious. So we should also have songs, because music touches the heart. So, very good question. And, you know, if I had an amplifier, I'd play some of the songs we're working on.
Are they like Mangalananda and Uttama Sloka, like that sort of thing?
No, different style. These songs are for the general public. These songs are for large groups of people, like 20,000, 30,000 people who can chant together. Completely different style. We're trying to emulate the Hillsong style with Krishna conscious songs. I mean, if you had an amplifier, I could play some of these for you.
I can get a Bluetooth speaker.
Do you have one?
It'll take me like 1 minute.
Okay, could you do that, Krishna Rupa?
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't trip over, it's like a minute and a half.
Yeah, be careful. All right, so any other questions or comments? Yes?
Prabhupada, didn't he say that he wanted a cultural conflict of the world?
Yes.
Not just a religious movement, it's a cultural,
yes,
secular music that has Christian conscience based.
Yes, to use the culture. For example, the devotees in China, if you've ever seen the videos, I have videos of the devotees in China, they're dressed in Chinese types of costumes. Their plays that are doing on Krishna Leela are like Chinese plays, and they are, the music is Chinese music.
Yeah. I had a good fortune to join Swarupananda once in Manipur.
Did you also know? I never went there, but I've seen
the big hoop, yeah, pouring skirts when they do Rasa Leela.
Yeah.
And all the people in Manipur relate to that. And then Krishna's everything, and the music's very flutish or something to do with the sound of music up there,
mm-hmm,
and incorporated all of that.
Mm.
So they were doing that for many years already.
Yeah, so
the cultural influence.
Yeah, so the dancing in Manipur is different. The drums are different. Yeah. They even have the sword dancing.
Balinese is a good example.
Yeah, Balinese. So
last time I was in Bali, they had a Javanese Goan band.
Yeah. And in Mexico, when we have our Rath Yatra, we have a mariachi band. You know what a mariachi band is?
It's like dancing sort of.
No, you ever heard this song? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. And they're playing the trombones, the trumpets, and wearing these big sombreros, big hats. That's Mexican. Zoe? Yes, Rupa?
In America, there's the example of the devotees adapting the straight edge music and getting tens of thousands of,
yeah,
followers in the crowds,
oh, yeah,
and they're like singing along their devotional songs and that sort of,
yeah,
sort of music.
Yeah, it's not my style, but. Yeah. To attract a particular type of person. All right. What's that?
I was just remembering that I was reading, I think it was a Bhakti Godhead article or a little pamphlet book that Srila Prabhupada wrote called Who's Crazy? It's called Who's Crazy? And yeah, it was about, I think, the atheists were calling the spiritualists crazy, and Prabhupada wrote something. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
A pamphlet for Who's
Crazy. Yeah.
And there's a reason why Prabhupada wrote it.
Yeah, I was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada basically said, they say everything is okay, you're okay, I'm okay. We say, you're okay. I mean, I'm okay, you're not okay. You know, so Prabhupada was oftentimes speaking like that. All right, so maybe we should take some prasadam. Any other questions? Or
the
speaker.
Just a minute.
That was pretty fast. Well, I have to get my other phone that has the music on it. How do we pair it?
It should be called JBL.
Okay. Bluetooth. Do I need to enter any sort of numbers? Or?
Press play, it should be working now.
Oh, it's connecting. Is it connected? Found it, but it started to connect. It's not paired yet. Is it pairing or what?
Now I think it's there now,
but
he's saying it's
working. Well, that's it, charged there. Is that it? Is it paired?
I won't know until you press play. All
right.
Next. Is it
yes. Yeah, yeah.
From okay. The street. Change.
Okay. Okay. Okay, everybody listens. You got this is a special preview. I didn't go straight. A special preview. This song is called When I Am Calling. It's not me singing, don't worry. It's actually a devotee in New Zealand. And this is just a demo.
Is this an old song or a new one?
No, it's a new song. And the way we're going to do this is project the words on the screen and have people sing along with it. Responsibly. Right now it's not done responsibly.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna mantra. So everybody's chanting the mantra. I know you hear me. When I'm calling, I know you're with me. So this is supposed to be done responsibly. So everybody is chanting, I know you hear me. Calling, I know you're with me. So that's why it keeps repeating so many times. When I'm calling, I know you're with me. Chanting, I know you hear me. When I'm calling, I know you're with me. Chanting, I know you hear me. When I'm calling, I know you're with me. It's real catchy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Good. I know. And then she's our singer, but we have other songs. I'll just give you one or two other songs. This is a beautiful song written not by us, but it's written by a devotee named Akendra. But this is done by Madhava Sangani in New Zealand. This is a beautiful song about Prabhupada. Your dad. Oh, that's right. So you know the song. This song actually touches your heart because it's about Prabhupada. Nice song, isn't it? That song's about Prabhupada. And then we have just one, this will be the last one I'll play. And then there's one about Sharagrahi Vaishnava, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. This is a beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Spend their days in fruitless hope and joy, heady dead liquid forms for all their hearts employ. Anyway, you've ever heard this song, these words before? Sharagrahi Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote it in English. Anyway, so that's a song. Thank you for asking that question. So we're working on it right now. This is part of our endeavor to bring more Western people to Krishna consciousness.
Are there more songs like Saragrahi Vaishnava that were sung but already written in?
Yeah, Prabhupada has a song. Prabhupada has songs too.
And are you also singing those? Or
these are, yeah, we have other songs that are being worked on. There's about 4 or 5 more songs right now.
Beautiful. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I wasn't sure. You know, cause sometimes with devotees, I wasn't sure if it would be maybe something more, I don't know, that might appeal to older generations, but this was very beautiful.
This is for young people, yeah.
This is really beautiful.
I think it's for all the generations, this sort of
music. It's very universal.
You know, if I did it, if it was me singing, it would just be a bunch of old people who would be attracted. But anyway, so that's our endeavor. Prabhupada said, he defined, she's probably watching anyway. So Prabhupada defined someone who's a Mahabhagavat should always be thinking, is always thinking, of spreading Krishna consciousness, not falling down from devotional practices. That's Prabhupada's functional definition of a pure devotee. So my understanding is that if we want to come to that Krishna conscious, pure devotional platform, that's where we have to be at. In our own services. I'm not saying that everybody has to imitate me, follow my path, but in everybody's service, like your service of teaching, you have that opportunity to reach out to others. Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but at the end of November, we're having a big national Vaishnava forum.
Great, yeah, I heard about that.
And if I could ask any of the mothers to have a look at the